We invite you to turn with us now to Ezra chapter 6 this morning. Ezra chapter 6. We're going to take a look at this very interesting chapter that sort of concludes the first section of Ezra. It's a very important chapter that has a principle that is very relevant and appropriate for us. I'm going to read a portion of chapter 6. We won't read it all for the sake of time. But we want to get some of the important parts of it, so you follow along in your copy of the Scriptures from Ezra chapter 6. Then King Darius issued a decree, and search was made in the archives where the treasure were stored in Babylon, in Ecbatana, in the fortress, which is in the province of Media. A scroll was found, and there was written in it as follows. Memorandum. In the first year of King Cyrus, Cyrus the king issued a decree concerning the house of God at Jerusalem. Let the temple, the place where sacrifices are offered, be rebuilt, and let the foundations be retained, and its heights being 60 cubits, and its width 60 cubits, with 3 layers of huge stones and 1 layer of timbers. And let the cost be paid from the royal treasury. And let the gold and silver utensils of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took from the temple in Jerusalem and brought to Babylon, be returned and brought to their places in the temple in Jerusalem. And you shall put them in the house of God. Now, therefore, Tattenai, governor of the province beyond the river, Shethazar-Bunaziah, and your colleagues, the officials of the provinces beyond the river, keep away from there. Leave this work on the house of God alone. Let the governor of the Jews and the elders of the Jews rebuild this house of God on its site. Moreover, I issue a decree concerning what you are to do for these elders of Judah in the rebuilding of this house of God. The full cost is to be paid to these people from the royal treasury out of the taxes of the provinces beyond the river, and that without delay. Whatever is needed, both young bulls, rams, and lambs for a burnt offering to the God of heaven, and wheat and salt and wine and anointing oil, as the priests in Jerusalem request, it is to be given to them daily without fail, that they may offer acceptable sacrifices to the God of heaven, and pray for the life of the king and his sons. And I issued a decree that any man who violates this edict, a timber shall be drawn from his house, and he shall be impaled on it, and his house shall be made a refuge heap on account of this. May the God who has caused his name to dwell there overthrow any king or people who attempts to change it, so as to destroy this house of God in Jerusalem. I, Darius, have issued this decree. Let it be carried out with all diligence. Wow. Look at the faithfulness of God. And what a message there is, as we're going to see in just a moment, that can really apply even to us today. Ezra chapter 6 is a very unusual chapter in the book. It sort of climaxes the first 5 chapters and introduces the last of the book of Ezra. It's a story of a joyful Passover. And I remind you again of what we have seen, that these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction. This is a part of God's inspired word written for our benefit, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that we might be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. So it's good to come into a book like Ezra chapter 6, but it's not a passage you hear a lot of sermons on. But think a minute about where we've come in the book of Ezra. Think a minute about the things that have taken place in the chapters that lead up to chapter 6. If you go back and remember chapter 1, Cyrus issues a decree for the return of captives to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. In fact, that decree is reiterated here in chapter 6. Takes our memories back to chapter 1 when we looked at that decree being issued and at the people who were ready to go back to rebuild. Chapter 2 tells about 50,000 of them who returned to Jerusalem, and a whole list of names and giving their ancestral records was recorded in that chapter. Then in chapter 3, the restoration began. And in the process of beginning, they were standing on the foundation of the temple, and they completed the altar and were able to have sacrifices. But there was opposition that arose, and the work stopped. Chapter 4 tells of how that work began, and how the opposition intimidated and stopped the work. And that brought the reaction of God in chapter 5 in sending two prophets. Two prophets that proclaimed the word of God to get the people to refocus, to turn from their selfish desires and interest, and to turn to completing God's will and purpose. Then comes chapter 6. And chapter 6 tells us of the temple being completed. In the portion that we didn't read, but that we'll look at in a few moments, we'll discover that the temple was completed. And then they had a joyful time of rejoicing in God's will being completed. There's a very important principle that comes from chapter 6. It's a principle that we all need to keep in mind on a day-to-day basis in our Christian lives. When God's people do God's work according to God's word, opposition will come. But God's work can't be stopped. God will complete the work and bring honor and glory to His own name and keep His promise. When God's people do God's work according to God's word, there'll be opposition, but God's work will be completed. Isn't that good news? When you look at the mess that we're in today, and you see the things that are going on, if you try to do God's work, doing it God's way according to His word, there's going to be opposition, but I have good news. Jesus Christ is coming again. God will complete His plan. It can't be stopped. It can't be short-circuited. Even as bad as the mess looks right now, think of what it was like for all of those exiles way back in the days of Ezra. And the things that went on in opposition. But the temple was completed. And God's name was honored and glorified. Let me just summarize it and put it this way. We want to see how God's word is at work. And chapter 6 tells us that God's work will be sustained by His own provisions. God will take care of the supply of all that's needed. That's verses 1 through 12. Then in verses 13 through 18, it's all empowered by, it is all accomplished by the power of the Word of God. We'll see that in verses 13 through 18. And then finally, the completion of the work rejoices in the joy of God's people. And they celebrated the Passover. They celebrated with the various feasts that went with that. And they gave rejoicing and praise to God. So first of all, let's look quickly at the sustaining by the provision of God that we find in verses 1 through 12. It's interesting in this passage that we see the original decree being rediscovered back out at the place that we know from historical records was Cyrus's first summer palace. And it was there in the archives that they were able to find the original decree. And Darius authorizes that decree be followed through with. Here's Darius, another ruler who follows after Cyrus. But he authorizes the same thing, takes that decree and, in a sense, reissues it. And he even funds the work. As we read in the passage, as he told them so clearly, that all of the things were to be supplied from the royal treasury. He even said, leave this work of God alone. Let the governor of the Jews and the elders rebuild. He authorizes the work to go forward. Here were captives that had gone back and they were working on restoring the temple. The full cost is going to be paid. Notice in verse 8, the full cost is to be paid to these people from the royal treasury. Whatever is needed, let it be given to them daily. Think about that. All of these who have gone back and they're back in the land in that place where it's all in rubble and the work has been stopped and things have been discouraging. And Darius comes along. A pagan king God uses to bring resources they never expected to have. Wow. But notice secondly that the work was empowered by the word of God. Yes, God moved in the heart of Darius to have it followed through so that the work could be done, had those decrees issued. He even said that those who would try to stop the work were to be killed. Stop them. Took care of the enemies. Wow. Isn't God good? God is so faithful. But notice in verses 13 through 18 that the work is empowered by the word of God. Notice very carefully the words in those verses. It was successfully finished through the word and the command of the Lord. Look at verse 14. Underscore it. Put a box by it. Put a star around it. It'll be on the final exam. It's such a crucial statement. Verse 14, the elders of the Jews were successful through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo, and they finished building according to the command of God. The work was thoroughly, completely finished successfully through the agency of God's word. It was God's word as it was proclaimed by Haggai and Zechariah. It was God's command that they followed. And because they followed it, they were able to successfully complete the work. The work is empowered by the word of God. It was successfully finished. And the temple was then dedicated. Don't miss that beautiful statement. And the temple was dedicated, verses 16 through 18. By the way, that word dedicated is an important word in the original language. It's the word Hanukkah. It's a name that is later applied to a special feast that was added after the temple's reconsecration, after it was desecrated by Antiochus Epiphanes. It's even mentioned as the Feast of Dedication in John chapter 10, verse 22. It's not one of the major feasts in Israel's history, but it goes back to this statement that the temple was dedicated. That's an important word. It's a word that means putting something at God's total disposal for His purpose and for His use. It's used of the dedication of a house. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 5. It's even the word that's used in the dedication of the city wall after it is finished in the days of Nehemiah in Nehemiah 12, verse 27. And so the temple was dedicated. As the work was completed, a work that was accomplished successfully through the word of God and the command of God. And then later used that word dedicated, used for a festival in memory of the temple's reconsecration. And still you hear today, not as much, but even in Israel there will be a celebration of Hanukkah with a special menorah that is used to speak of that dedication. God's work at work. And the completion of the work brings joy. You find that in verses 19 through 22. It results in the joy of God's people. Interesting thing is that this paragraph goes back to the Hebrew language. The middle portion has been in Aramaic with those letters and those notes that came from the various kings in chapters 3 and 4, especially in part of chapter 5. Now we come back to Hebrew. The section had begun with an Aramaic letter way back in chapter 2, and now we return to Hebrew. And the response, they separated themselves, verse 21, from the impurity of the nations, and they sought the Lord God of Israel. They came together with a rejoicing. They celebrated the Passover. And think about that. Today, we celebrated the Lord's Supper, which was instituted at the time of Passover in the days of Christ, to be a time of rejoicing and remembering and proclaiming the work of God through Jesus Christ in providing our eternal life, in providing forgiveness for sin, in providing justification. The people in the days of Ezra 6 celebrated Passover, and they also celebrated the Feast of Unleavened Bread that followed the Passover. And so it was an important time of rejoicing in the completion of that rebuilt temple. So we have a very interesting thing that has happened. In Ezra 1 through 6, we've seen Zerubbabel lead some exiles back to rebuild. We've gone through the process of seeing the opposition and the things that have happened, but now it has been completed. Chapters 7 through 10 now will lead to the story of Ezra and Nehemiah leading exiles back to purify the people and to rebuild the walls and to complete the total work of rebuilding Jerusalem. And you have to realize that there's a little silent period between that first section and the second section, and the events that took place back in Susa, the capital, are recorded in the book of Esther that comes in between these two sets of Ezra, bringing really to a close the Old Testament history that we have recorded. The lingering lesson that comes from all of this is that great principle that we have seen illustrated in the passage. When God's people do God's work according to God's word, there'll be opposition, but God's work cannot be stopped. What God wants to do in your life when you begin serving Him in whatever capacity He may call you, in whatever you may do as your ministry, when you do His work according to His word, there'll be opposition. There'll be those who'll try to stop you, who'll try to deter. Satan will try to tempt you in all sorts of ways. There'll be the opposition, but God's work will continue to be done. God is faithful. He is so faithful, superabundantly beyond any kind of faithfulness we could ever imagine. What a mighty God we serve. And what a wonderful Savior who has saved us by the shedding of His own blood and dying on a cross for something He didn't do. He did it for us in His great love. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank You for the example of the folks who lived in the days of Ezra and who are recorded in this book. Thank You, Father, for reminding us and showing us again how great Your faithfulness is, that Your work done according to Your word by Your people may suffer some opposition, but can know that Your work will be accomplished. Your will be done, for You are faithful and You keep Your word. Thank you for that, Father. And thank you for these moments that we have had to share today, remembering the finished work of Christ. May we rejoice as we go from this place and be your people doing your work according to your word. Not discouraged, not brought down by the opposition, but recognizing that your will be done in your time, in your way, always beautiful. And we give you the praise and thanks as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.